come out, listen on there, up there, down there, hair is everywhere.
I remember that once when I slept with a girlfriend, I had a strong desire to kiss her, and that I did do so.
You know, everyone's here, slightly gay. Nobody cares what people say.
Bessie and all of us went to the party. Some woman had a house there, buffet flat.
There's a lady in our neighborhood.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A crackdown in India raises human rights and HIV concerns. Queer couples move toward equality in the UK and New Jersey. And an innuendo-armed collector reveals even more that's
stranger than straight. Right.
All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending January 14, 2006. India's government is feeling renewed pressure from human rights groups and the United Nations over its colonial-era sodomy laws. It comes on the heels of increasing harassment and arrests of gay men there, particularly in the Lucknow region. The UN's major HIV/AIDS body also expressed concerns that the anti-gay law and the heightened crackdown hamper HIV/AIDS prevention efforts in India, one of the world's most populous nations. In early January, Lucknow police arrested four men on charges of operating a gay racket on the internet, as well as of engaging in unnatural sex. Reports published by Human Rights Watch suggest that undercover police posing as gay on the website entrapped one man, then forced him to call the others and arrange a meeting at a local park where they were all arrested. Other reports indicate that gay clubs and bars are being shut down across the country. UNAIDS issued a statement this week that said, in part, in India, criminalization of people most at risk of HIV infection may increase stigma and discrimination, ultimately fueling the AIDS epidemic. Scott Long, director of Human Rights Watch's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Rights Program, said the Lucknow region, where the men were arrested, has seen a number of anti-gay attacks in recent years. Lucknow police have a shameful record of harassing gay men as well as non-governmental organizations that work with them, Long said. They are able to do so because India's government clings to the criminalization of homosexual conduct.
Anti-queer violence is unusually common in Jamaica, which, like India, holds on to its colonial-era sodomy law. In the latest incident, Jamaican gay man Nokia Cowan drowned after jumping into Kingston Harbor while being chased by gay bashers, according to the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, the country's best-known queer advocacy group. In an attempt to flee this mob, the young man jumped into the Kingston Harbor and perished because he could not swim, the organization said. JFLAG condemns the prevalence of incidents such as this, their statement continued, and we implore the highest members of government to clearly indicate that violence based on sexual orientation, both perceived and actual, is unacceptable in Jamaica. That plea has fallen on deaf ears for a number of years. Leading AIDS activist Steve Harvey was murdered in Kingston on November 30th when, according to police, at least four assailants forced their way into his home and abducted him in his Jamaica AIDS Support Company car. His body was found in a rural area with gunshot wounds to the back and head. Activists in Jamaica and elsewhere also have been fighting a years-long battle with several famous dancehall reggae singers, whose lyrics, activists say, support anti-gay violence or, in some instances, the killing of homosexuals. Among those targeted by protests have been Elephant Man, Vibes Cartel, Beanie Man, Buju Banton, T.O.K., Bounty Killer, Capleton, and Sizzla.
Australia's government is feeling heat for refusing to certify its overseas gay citizens' single status, a routine part of marriage applications by foreigners in most other countries, including those where same-gender marriage is legal. The Australian embassy in Vienna refused the certificate confirming his single status to Peter Kokushka, originally from Melbourne, Australia. He needed that in order to marry Austrian native Marcus Moonman in the Netherlands. The Netherlands ultimately accepted an affidavit from Kakushka as proof that he was single, and the couple was married in November. Kakushka said he might take legal action against the Australian government for obstructing his legal marriage in the Netherlands. Australia passed legislation in 2004 that defines marriage exclusively as a union between a man and woman. A spokesman for Australia Attorney General Philip Ruddock claimed one purpose of the certificates is to verify that a proposed marriage would be valid in Australia. Nonsense, Australian National University senior law lecturer Wayne Morgan told The Age newspaper. There is nothing in Australian law that would prevent a certificate of no impediment to marriage being issued in such circumstances, he said. This is an internationally accepted document that has nothing to do with the validity of the marriage back in the couple's own country. Activist Rodney Croom of the Australian Coalition for Equality complained that the government has already made clear its opposition to same-sex marriage in Australia. Why does it now have to export that prejudice to other countries and Australians living overseas?
On the heels of the United Kingdom's new Civil Partnership Act, which grants registered same-gender couples the rights and obligations of marriage, England and Wales have extended adoption rights to unmarried hetero and queer couples. Adoption previously was limited to married heterosexual couples and single people. The change was passed by Parliament 3 years ago, but officially took effect on December 30th. Noted Felicity Collier, chief executive of the British Association for Adopting and Fostering, this is very important at a time when too many children wait too long in temporary care waiting for an adoptive family, or, in some cases, never have the chance of adoption at all.
Two bills enhancing gay and lesbian couples' rights were overwhelmingly approved this week in the U.S. state of New Jersey. Legislation there is expected to be signed into law by Governor Richard Cody. One establishes same-gender couples' rights to inheritance and to make funeral arrangements, while the other would allow health benefits to be extended to the partners of lesbian and gay employees of county and municipal governments, school boards, and county colleges. Several New Jersey couples are nevertheless seeking full marriage equality. The state Supreme Court will hear oral arguments on their case in mid-February and could rule before the end of the year. The state of Washington's High Court is expected to rule at any time on a similar lawsuit, and New York's top tribunal may begin review of one or more marriage lawsuits later this year.
New Jersey Federal Appeals Court Judge Samuel Alito, nominated by George W. Bush to succeed moderate Sandra Day O'Connor on the U.S. Supreme Court, said this week that same-gender marriage issues are likely to come before federal courts in the coming years, but revealed little about how he would rule as a member of the nation's highest court. Alito told the Senate Judiciary Committee during his confirmation hearings that he expects federal challenges to the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act and expressed his belief that states are not required to recognize same-gender marriages performed in other states. In the queer-related case of Shore Regional High School v. PS, Alito explained his 2004 position in favor of a high school student who sought to change schools after being bullied with anti-gay epithets. He said that parents had the right to place their children in a safe school environment at government expense under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Lara Schwartz, chief legislative counsel for the Human Rights Campaign, echoed the sentiments of a number of gay leaders, however, saying that Alito's ruling did not show support for gay rights. I think the maximum it shows is he wouldn't go out of his way to produce a result that is contrary to the law, she said. Alito's nomination is opposed by a broad coalition of queer rights groups that also include the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force and Lambda Legal. The groups cite a 15-year history of hostility toward civil rights protections during Alito's time on the federal bench. Alito is expected to be confirmed along party lines later this month in the Republican-controlled Senate.
Courts in Poznan, Poland refused in late December and early January to begin criminal proceedings against 75 marchers who were arrested at a late November gay pride parade that had been banned by the mayor, according to a report by the Campaign Against Homophobia there. The marchers had been charged with taking part in an illegal gathering. A few hundred people joined the demonstration. They were harassed by members of the group All Polish Youth, who shouted, "Let's gas the fags, and we'll do to you what Hitler did with Jews." Warsaw's Pride Parade was also banned by local officials in recent years. Then-Mayor Lech Kaczynski, who is now Poland's president, called last year's planned march sexually obscene. An improvised parade took place anyhow with more than 2,500 defiant participants.
And finally, Brokeback Mountain, Ang Lee's critically acclaimed breakthrough film about the 20-year relationship of a ranch hand and a rodeo cowboy, may be lassoing a number of awards, but it received an O rating for morally offensive from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and moviegoers in the predominantly Mormon Salt Lake City, Utah suburb of Sandy won't be able to see it. It was supposed to open this week at the Megaplex at Jordan Commons, owned by Larry Miller, who also owns the National Basketball Association's Utah Jazz. Instead, it was abruptly pulled from the schedule with little explanation. The movie's distributor, Focus Features, said that theater management has reneged on their licensing agreement by refusing to open the film, but Gail Ruzicka, president of the conservative Utah Eagle Forum, said not showing the film tells the young people especially that maybe there is something wrong with this show. However, after some bad publicity, distributors in the Australian state of Queensland have decided to expand Brokeback Mountain screenings there from what had been planned as a limited release. Moviegoers in the northern cowboy country regions of Townsville and Rockhampton, one of the country's biggest beef and live cattle export centers, would have been forced to travel to other cities to see the film. There were claims that there would be little interest in that part of the country for a film like Brokeback Mountain, but as the local Townsville Bulletin newspaper editorialized, no one went to see Catwoman either. But that didn't stop them from screening it.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 14th, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by John Beaupre and Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm John Beaupre.
Are you signed up for our monthly emailed This Way Out updates? They briefly preview upcoming programming and give you other behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio program. We also send out weekly email messages about the specific content of each upcoming show. To receive one or both of these messages, all you need to do is email tworadio@aol.com. And be assured that we don't share, sell, or otherwise provide your email address or anything else about you to anyone, and we never will. Again, to receive the monthly This Way Out update and or our weekly program promo message, ask for them by name when you email tworadio@aol.com.
I'm Margie Adams, singer-songwriter. I want to say thanks for This Way Out. This magazine didn't exist in 1984 when I came off the road, and it's a thrill now that I'm back performing again to know that this show exists and is broadcasting lesbian and gay music and culture all over the world.
Last time on This Way Out.
Isn't it amazing what a person could do with a record collection and a good ear for innuendos? Find a song, a soundtrack, or a comedy album, and you'll be shocked at what you can come up with.
Keep it gay, keep it gay, keep it gay.
I'm not going with you.
Why, no?
You have to stay here with Barnaby. You're married to him.
The girl that I married.
How can you explain that, sir? None of these men seem. We haven't any history of them being homosexual.
Hey, wait a minute.
Men, 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 men.
Gay love. With your heart I will play love.
And now it's time for another special feature.
The legendary American DJ known as Dr. Demento raised audio kitsch to an art form. As Nurse Pimento, Southern California gay activist and radio producer David Fradkin added his own kind of spice in pursuing the peculiarities of popular culture. We got a nice dose of the late Fradkin's unique collection of music, film, and comedy recordings on last week's show. The practitioner makes a follow-up visit to conclude the early 80s presentation he called
Stranger Than Straight.
Come out, come out, wherever you are.
Here I am.
As I live and breathe. A fairy.
Thanks a lot, Jiminy. Hi there. Nurse Pimento at the duty desk once again, prescribing all kinds of forbidden fruit for your enjoyment.
Look at you, look at me. Wish that we could always be so young and gay. That's us today.
If you think the innuendos aren't clear, you are sadly mistaken. Many people are under the impression that the words we're familiar with today in the gay lingo are relatively new. Well, if they mean relative to the history of the world, they're right. But in regard to the 1930s and 40s, you'd better start taking the inferences at face value, because even then a fairy meant more than just a sprite. Did you ever wonder if Danny Kaye was a fairy? Especially after seeing him follow Bing Crosby around like a sick puppy in White Christmas. It should be on TV for the holidays, so look for it. Until then, be content with this little number. I have no date for it, but it's a heck of a lot older than White Christmas, which was made in 1954.
All the birds have gone to sleep and all the frogs are still. Then you will hear the fairy pipes come out upon the hill. Come out, listen on the air. Up there, down there, fairies everywhere. Oh, hark, oh, hear, can't you hear the tune? Fairy, fairy pipers sound underneath the silver moon.
But if you doubt that this can occur, and a question of what I say, you'll never hear the melody.
D. D. The fairy pipers play. Come out, listen on the air. Up there, down there, fairies everywhere. Oh, happy now here, can't you hear the tune? Airy fairy pipers underneath the silver moon. Come.
Anne Frank, the young woman who wrote the famous diary documenting her years in hiding from the Nazis, wasn't all the millions of readers made her out to be. She was more.
Wednesday, 5 January, 1944. Dear Kitty, after I came here, when I was just 14, I began to think about myself sooner than most girls and to know that I am a person. Sometimes, when I lie in bed at night, I have a terrible desire to feel my breasts and to listen to the quiet, rhythmic beat of my heart. I already had these kinds of feelings subconsciously before I came here, because I remember that once, when I slept with a girlfriend, I had a strong desire to kiss her and that I did do so. I could not help being terribly inquisitive over her body, for she'd always kept it hidden from me. I asked her whether, as a proof of our friendship, we should feel one another's breasts, but she refused. I go into ecstasies every time I see the naked figure of a woman, such as Venus, for example. It strikes me as so wonderful and exquisite that I have difficulty in stopping the tears rolling down my cheeks. If only I had a girlfriend. Yours, Anne.
Today, straight people consider overt sexuality threatening. But in Noel Coward's time, it was considered chic.
I don't know, it's an extraordinary experience. I've said, not everybody has that sort of, I suppose, it's something to do with the sun and all that. I wouldn't understand myself, really. You know, quite for no reason, I'm here for the season and high as a kite, living in error with Maud at Cap Ferrer, which couldn't be right. You know, everyone's here frightfully gay. You know, nobody cares what people say. Now, though the Riviera is really much queerer than Rome at its height, on Wednesday night, I went to a marvelous party with Nunu and Nada and Nell. You know, it was in the fresh air, and we went as we were. We stayed as we were, which was hell. Poor Grace started singing at midnight. She didn't
stop singing till four. You know, we knew the excitement was bound to begin when Laura got blind on Dubonnet and Gin and scratched her veneer with a Cartier pin. I couldn't have liked it more, honestly. I mean, it was marvelous, pardon me. We played the most wonderful game. Maureen disappeared and came back in a beard. And we all had to guess at her name, imagine. Old Cecil, good old Cecil arrived wearing armor, some shells and a black feather ball. Poor Millicent wore a surrealist comb made of bits of mosaic from St. Peter's in Rome. But the wait was so great that she had to go home. I couldn't have liked it more, honestly. It's the most fabulous idea. I've never seen such a carry-on. I mean, it couldn't happen anywhere else, Don Julio. It was peculiar. You know, people's behavior away from Belgravia would make you aghast. So much variety watching society scampering past. You know, if you have any mind at all, Gibbon's divine decline and fall sounds pretty flimsy. No more than a whimsy. By way of contrast, on Wednesday last, I went to a marvelous party. I must say the fun was intense. We all had to do what the people we knew might be doing 100 years hence. Can you beat it? We talked about growing old gracefully, and Elsie, who's 74, said, A, it's a question of being sincere, and B, if you're supple, you've nothing to fear. Then she swung upside down from a glass chandelier. I couldn't have liked it more. I'd been to a marvelous party. We didn't sit down to dinner till 10, you know, and young Bobby Carr did a stunt at the bar with a lot of extraordinary men. Poor Frieda arrived with a turtle, which shattered us all to the core. The Duchess passed out at 2:45, and suddenly Cyril cried, fiddly-dee, and he ripped off his trousers and jumped in the sea. I couldn't have liked it more. I've been to a marvelous party. Elise made an entrance with May. You'd never have guessed from her fisherman's vest that her bust had been whittled away. Poor Lulu got fried on Chianti and talked about esprit de corps. Louise made a couple of passes at Gus, and Freddie, who hates any kind of a fuss, did half the Big Apple and twisted his truss. Ha ha! I couldn't have liked it more.
That isn't exactly the kind of music you could dance to.
Oh, I love dancing. I really do.
He didn't mean that.
Well, I didn't think that he did. Two grown men dancing. Heavens.
Wait, we're not partied out yet. The great jazz singer Bessie Smith used to go to parties at a very strange apartment. What did Bessie do up there?
Bessie had a party up there at this woman's house.
Bessie's niece, Ruby, talking with Chris Albertson.
It was right near the jailhouse there in Detroit. Because when we come out side entrance, the prisoners would be hollering down, hey, girl, and we'd be hollering up at them and everything. I'll never get that place in Detroit. And Bessie, that's where the faggots used to dress like women there, and it wasn't against the law, you know. That was an open, real open house for everybody there in that town. And that's where I told you they had that party that time, and I went to it. Bessie and all of us went to the party, and all of us got so drunk there at that house, that some house that was a friend of Bessie, some woman had a house there, a buffet flat.
There's a lady in our neighborhood who runs a buffet flat.
A buffet flat.
A buffet flat is nothing but faggots and bulldaggers and open house. Everything goes on in that house.
But I mean, it was strictly a gay place.
A very gay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was strictly for faggots and
everything. Everything that was in the life. Everybody that's in the life.
Yeah. Why was it called a buffet flat?
A buffet means everything.
Yeah.
Everything goes on.
Mm-hmm.
They had a faggot there. It was so great that people used to come there just to watch him make love to another man.
Mm.
That's right, and he was real great. They'd give him a tongue bath and everything.
Mm.
And by the time he got to the front of that guy, he was shaking like a leaf, baby. And people used to pay good just to go in there and see him do his act. Now, we went into this room where this cat was giving this bath. Well, I tell you, truth, I was only young then. I was even much younger than I am now, you know. And I sat and watched that cat, and everybody in the room was excited. Honey, I've never seen anything like that in my life. He saw it from the cat's toes. And he went up from the back to the front. And by the time he got to the front of that cat, boy, I'm telling you, he was jeeping. And I felt like jeeping with him. And everybody in the room felt the same. That cat was great. I'm telling you, he was fine.
A real artist.
Oh, he was. There ain't no job about that. He really was. In fact, in them days, they only had them working in there that could draw money, you see. They had to pay as they come in. You know the buffet platters. They pay as they come in. You have to pay to go in. And they have shows, and every room is different. Two women going together, a man going together. And anything that you want to see is in that place. And if you're interested, they do the same thing to you. I want to tell you, I wanted to get in with that cat. But he said it wasn't fish day, you know.
Oh.
So, so I was out.
There's a lady in our neighborhood who runs a buffet flat.
Feeling better now? I'm so glad. Oh, my, I've forgotten all about the time. My shift is over now, but I'm sure you're in good enough shape to take care of yourself. Remember, drink plenty of liquids and don't forget to take your vitamins. Oh, and we should thank the people who are the active ingredients in our miracle cure, Margaret Fowler and Joan Sprague, for their technical assistance. And the inert ingredients should get equal time, so I'd like to thank David Fradkin for just being me. This is Nurse Pimento. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing my song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, John Beaupre, Christopher Gall, Rex Walkner, and Graham Underhill contributed program material. David Fradkin conjured More Stranger Than Straight. And Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can help keep us on the air and choose from some very special queer history and culture CDs that you can own as our thanks. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our monthly This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KALW San Francisco, California, CKLU Sudbury, Ontario, WRPI Troy, New York, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. We're all going to stay tuned.